Hello, I'm Robert Pallas, and you're listening to Cut Talks, double G, U, double T.
So when you're about to, let's say, build on the blockchain, you know, in general, you have to shift your mindset somehow because the logic is different than just building regular software and interactions. Like everything changes. As an example, like the way you log in, right? Or it is different. The way you buy or check out is different. So how did you have to adjust the way you think to build this? And it's not just yourself, it's you and your team in general.
That's a great point. You do have to think in a decentralized manner, that everything that you build is going to be accessed out in the public. So the smart contract will run on chain. And indeed, you don't have to only understand yourself. What are the differences between building stuff that runs directly on the server or in a centralized cloud? Then you have to educate the team as well. So the team has to have at least general understanding of how blockchains work.
And is it for everyone, or you just have
people who just... It's not for everyone. But we have like a team of software developers who are excited about learning new technologies and the challenges that come with it.
Yeah. Okay. So how do you validate also? What's your approach to validating products before maybe releasing them on the blockchain, right?
Well, first of all, to validate the products, it starts before code, right?
Yeah.
You start thinking about what is the idea that we are going to build? Is it feasible? What are the tools that we're going to use? Does this idea even need blockchain? So we're not in the business of sticking blockchain everywhere. We are in the business of building the best solutions for the problem. And there has to be a problem before you start building. You cannot make up the problem. Usually the best problems come from the founders or their people around them who are trying to achieve something that is not very easy to achieve with current tools or methods. So they get this startup idea. Hey, guys, let's build something new. Sometimes it's already out there, or it could happen that the alternatives are so good that you don't really need another product. Or even if the problem is significant and there is a lot of people in the market who would want to solve the problem will not have monetary value. So they are not going to be paying for it. And that's another reason when you maybe wouldn't even build it at all. Only then comes the building phase.
You get involved in that phase as well then to...
Yes, for sure. Like we do qualify our customers into... We have a few internal questions that we always ask. And now I'm putting it out there in the public. First is that, is this product that should be built? Second is that, are these the people who should build it? They are the non-technical team after all. We only build code. We're not going to market the product and the project. So if they will not be able to pull it to the market, then for us to build it would be just a waste of time. And the third one is access to funds as well. So are these people going to be able to commercialize it? And are they going to be able to pool investor money to keep it growing until the app makes money for itself?
So what's your model then? Because you work with prime, from my understanding now, is you work with startups primarily, right? More than large corporations who just want to add a product or optimize a product they have with some new technologies, right? It's primarily startups. Okay. So what's your model? Do you partner with them as being their, if you want, tech team? You're their tech team. But do you also become equity partners in companies? How do you do this? Because obviously sometimes they don't, from my understanding also, which is quite common, right? In startups there, you need access to funds, right? On a long-term basis. So how does it work for you?
We are very often the sole technical team and technical leadership for our clients, which means that we also participate in cases with their investor meetups and sometimes with their clients if it's a larger B2B application. And for the equity part, for sure, we have built in the past a lot of stuff for sweat equity. In the beginning of DevTailor, we made those decisions very easily, too easily, I would say. And in cases, it happened that we built it and then the founders lost interest. So we've gotten much more cautious in applying the three questions to whether or not this is something that we should pursue and whether or not we should have equity stake in it. Of course, only building it for equity, that's not an option for us. We also need cash flow because we have people on payroll. And at the same time, we need the other party to have large skin in the game as well, because we are minority shareholders in those projects, which means that we cannot take the majority role and building everything for free. And then they will see if they are going to continue it with, are they going to like it or not. So they have to bring cash to the table anyway. But having like a software development company, or in our case, I would more call us like product development company, having us on board, it's been pretty good, I think, for a lot of our clients, because they know that they can rely on us for long term and stuff that is outside of software, meaning that what should we build, when should we build, how should we build. Those questions they can take to us because they know that we are interested in growing the company, not just to send the next invoice.
So let's just wrap up a bit on this chapter. Do you have any story to share where it went great or it went extremely bad?
I wouldn't share any extremely bad cases on camera. But for sure, like, we are a software company with over like 100 projects. The 100 project mark was reached a few years ago already. So there have been a lot of great cases, and some of the startups that we have built have went on to raise multiple millions in funding and are still growing.
Is this where like you stop contributing, or you are with them all the way through, or you help them build their own team internally?
It will depend. In one health tech startup, we did help to build their own team that they onboarded. And they took over all of the development. In, you know, when COVID started, access to funds maybe shrank for a lot of industries, but health tech was slightly different. So their solution was able to grab a lot of attention and secure a very large ticket from the investors. And then for them, it was just logical to get the internal team.
It starts with the gut. It ends with the gut. It's in your gut.
Gut Talks.
This is the end of this episode of this segment with Robert Pallas. Thanks for listening, and watch out for the next one.